Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
Well, there are at least 13 steps involved, and probably a whole lot more. 13 steps that the Secret Service must take when the president travels. According to Ronald Kessler, author of The First Family Detail, Secret Service Agents Reveal the Hidden Lives of the Presidents, and Jeffrey Robinson, co-author of Standing Next to History, An Agent's Life Inside the Secret Service, here is what Secret Service agents must do when the president travels. One, agents come to the city at least 3 months early to meet with local agencies. This is to clear up airspace, to request a motorcade route, and to secure safe locations. Two, they meet with local police and together warn people who are serious threats that they'll be watched when the president is in town. Three, as the arrival date draws near, the agents bring in bomb-sniffing dogs who thoroughly check all of the streets the president will be traveling. Four, they notify hospitals, and they make sure that the president is no more than 10 minutes away from a trauma center. Five, they keep an extra plane ready in case something happens to Air Force One. Six, they coordinate the logistics of flying in thousands of people, some of whom are staff and some of whom are responsible for cargo. Seven, they shut down highways. Eight, they figure out how to get the president into the back door of the hotel. Nine, they do background checks on everyone who works at the hotel. Those with any record of violence will be asked not to come to work the day he's there. 10, they clear out 3 floors of the hotel. The floor the president's on and the floor above and below him. No one except the president's detail is allowed to stay on those floors. 11, they remove all electronics from the president's hotel room and replace them with their own secure devices. 12, they set up 3 perimeters: police, Secret Service, and the Presidential Protective Division. And 13, they watch all of the food that the president will eat and all of those who prepare it. It takes a lot of preparation when the president travels. Clearly, somebody big is coming when you have to do all of that. In today's gospel reading, we hear John say, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Right? He's basically announcing that the Messiah is coming. Or, "Jesus Christ is coming to town." In Advent, we celebrate this announcement. But we need to back up for a moment. Notice how the reading starts. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Tiberius, Pilate, Herod, Philip, Lysanias, Annas, and Caiaphas. 7 big names. 7 of the who's who. 7 people who would definitely have made headlines if they came to town. But this scene is not about them. It's more like we hear the headlines about these big names, but the top news story is about somebody else. And the story is brought to us by this weird guy named John, this cub reporter out on the wilderness beat. He kind of looks like the prophet Elijah with his camel hair clothes. He's got some honey dripping down his beard and some pieces of locust stuck between his teeth. Clearly, he has been out there for some time now. And he doesn't exactly seem like the most reputable news source for somebody's arrival. And something seems wrong with his announcement, too. Right, because think about it. There were no highways getting shut down for this arrival. There were no bomb-sniffing dogs. There were no hotel rooms being cleared out. Because even though the people expected the Messiah to come, they didn't expect it would be like this. It's kind of like if the president were to dress in a disguise and then walk the streets without any Secret Service protection. It would be risky, but most people probably wouldn't even recognize it. They wouldn't pay attention. If there's no big fuss being made about his presence, then most people probably wouldn't care. And yet, this is what John is announcing. Somebody big is coming, but not in the pomp and circumstance way that you might think. So then, how do we prepare for his arrival? Right, if he's not coming in a way we can expect, how do we get ready? Right, when a president visits, everybody knows about it. And the Secret Service starts planning for it months ahead of time. But what can we do to prepare for the coming of the Messiah? Well, listen to what else this text says. John went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. We prepare by repenting. We prepare not by clearing highways or clearing hotel rooms, but by clearing our hearts. We prepare by listening to John's call to turn our lives around. Because notice what this text says about where the Messiah shows up. As it's written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now there's a curious little detail in the Greek here that we need to notice. Or actually a detail that's not here. Unlike English, there's no punctuation in Greek. So the words just all sort of run together. So that means it's unclear where the comma should be in this sentence. Should it be, as our text put it, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, comma, prepare the way of the Lord," or "the voice of one crying out, comma, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord"? In other words, what's going on in the wilderness? The crying out or the preparation? And in one sense, of course, it doesn't really matter because it's both. But that's the thing. The Lord is coming to the wilderness. And this is where news of his arrival is told. But why, of all places, does he come there? He doesn't come to the big city of Jerusalem for a photo op with the Pharisees. He doesn't go to Rome for a meet and greet with the emperor. He doesn't have a Secret Service detail planning his every route around the Holy Land. Instead, he shows up in the wilderness. He shows up in a place most people ignore. Why? Well, because this is where we live. We know the experience of being in the wilderness. Maybe you're there now. Maybe you feel out of place. Maybe you feel like you're in a time of transition. Maybe you hear a call to repent and you want your life to be different. This is the good news that John announces. The Messiah shows up here with you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what struggles you're facing, no matter what your time of wilderness is like, Jesus comes to you. And that changes us. That changes us into repentant people. And it changes us to be like John, announcing his arrival to the world. On March 12th, 2012, President Obama visited Dayton. And when he was here, he brought British Prime Minister David Cameron with him. And President Obama said, "Sometimes when we have foreign visitors, they're only visiting the coast. They go to New York, they go to Washington, they go to Los Angeles. But the heartland is what it's all about." Then Dayton Mayor Gary Letzel said that President Obama indicated Dayton was a great place. "We're on the same wavelength," the mayor said. The president and the prime minister even attended a UD basketball game while they were here. This is where we live. Jesus doesn't just come to the coast. He doesn't just come to the big cities. He doesn't just come to the rich and famous. He comes to you. He comes to your heartland. And he comes to the land of your heart. Not because you deserve it or because you're in a great place in life, but because he meets you exactly where you are. And because of that, as John said, all flesh, not just those in big cities, shall see the salvation of God. That's worth preparing for and worth announcing to the world. And so in the name of the one who comes to us where we are and changes us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.